May we be helped to commence our morning service of worship by singing together hymn 384, tune Ickley 354. Great God, great God, my mournful prayer, make my poor trembling soul thy care. For me in pity undertake, and save me for thy mercy's sake. My soul's cast down within me, Lord, and only thou canst help afford. Let not my heart with sorrow break, but save me for thy mercy's sake. Hymn 384, tune Ickley 354.
Thank you.
Let us read together from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. The ninth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And we will read together the first 29 verses. Mark chapter 9, verses 1 to 29. And he said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that there be some of them that stand here, which shall not taste of death, till they have seen the kingdom of God come with power. And after 6 days, Jesus taketh with him Peter and James and John, and leadeth them up into an high mountain apart by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his raiment became shining, exceeding white as snow, so as no fuller on earth can white them. And there appeared unto them Elias with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter answered and said to Jesus, Master, it is good for us to be here. And let us make 3 tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. For he wist not what to say, for they were sore afraid. And there was a cloud that overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, saying, This is my beloved Son, hear him. And suddenly, when they had looked round about, they saw no man anymore, save Jesus only, with themselves. And as they came down from the mountain, he charged them that they should tell no man what things they had seen, till the Son of Man were risen from the dead. And they kept that saying with themselves, questioning one with another what the rising from the dead should mean. And they asked him, saying, Why say the scribes that Elias must first come? And he answered and told them, Elias verily cometh first, and restoreth all things. And how it is written of the Son of Man, that he must suffer many things, and be set at naught. But I say unto you that Elias is indeed come, and they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, as it is written of him. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned him with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, What question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth, and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. He answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him. And when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. And if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, and enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore, and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Leave the reading there. May we be helped to pray. O thou almighty, omnipotent God, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come in our hearts, we pray. Thy will be done in our lives, we pray. And O dear Lord, do please forgive us our sins, our trespasses. Lord, and give us grace to forgive the sins and trespasses of others. O Lord, do all thou in our life. You're all there in our hearts, Lord. And help us, dear Lord, to bring all things unto Thee. Thou knowest what we have need of, dear Lord, before we ask. And Thou knewest, dear Lord, the answers to the questions Thou did put to that father of that poor child, that son of his. Yet Thou didst use those questions to draw out from him that cry. Oh dear Lord, Thou knowest all things. And Thou knowest the desires of each heart this day. Oh, do please draw out by Thy Holy Spirit those cries from our breast unto Thee. Lord, and in mercy here in heaven Thy dwelling place, when Thou hearest, oh, do forgive all that we are. Forgive us as sinners coming before Thee, Lord, and bow down Thine ear and hear our cries, that we may, like the psalmist, say in sincerity, I love the Lord, because He hath heard my prayer and my supplication. And so may our souls be led and taught by Thee. May our pathway truly be in accordance with the way in which Thou wouldst have us to go. For the teaching of our never dying souls, oh come Lord and work in us each, we pray. And oh dear Lord, we do implore that Thou wouldst be with us here during our worship, and with us as we part also, Lord. May there truly be taken home, Lord, that which we have gleaned. Oh, dear Lord, leave us not to come and not glean. But please let fall those handfuls of purpose for our souls, Lord. Bless souls, we plead, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord, Thou art the heavenly shepherd. Oh, come, Lord, and feed Thy flock here, we pray. Oh, dear Lord, help us to wrestle with Thee. Do not, Lord, leave us, but come and bless us, Lord. May each soul here, whatever their age, and each soul that listens in, whatever their age, Lord, know Thy Holy Spirit's work, begun and carried on in them. And may those real heartfelt desires be drawn out after Thee. Quicken souls, Lord. Cause that they might live before Thee. Cause that we as a people might be found living stones, fitly framed together. Ye that were not a people are now a people. Oh Lord, may this be true of us. We, Lord, who were lost in this world, seeking the things of this world, might be drawn out, drawn unto Thee. Oh Lord, given that love and unity in the things of God, and be gathered together with a common purpose to worship Thee. Oh Lord, draw forth that love and praise from our breasts, we pray. Leave none, dear Lord, without Thy Holy Spirit's work within. Oh Lord, we plead, leave not a hoof behind, but Lord, rather gather in from round and about, we plead, if it could be Thy holy will. Oh dear Lord, do graciously influence hearts that they might be heavenward in their thoughts, their desires, their actions, their walk and conduct. Oh dear Lord, Thou knowest how far short we come, and Thou knowest that it is not with us as we would have it be. But, oh Lord, only Thou canst cause our souls to be all taken up with Thee. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou mightest do it. And Lord, Thou canst manage all else. And Thou knowest those absent from us, our sister Bow at home. Thou knowest her case. Thou knowest her need. Please appear for her, Lord. Oh Lord, do draw nigh and bless her, we pray. Give her a sweet assurance. I am Thy salvation, it shall be well. Lord, be with our brother deacon where he preaches this day, his dear one joining with him. Lord, and those who listen in that we know not who they are, Lord, may they know Thy presence to be with them. Lord, may they also be able to witness that the Lord is in the house. And do we pray Thee get Thee all the honour and the glory to Thy precious holy name. Dear Lord, Thy Heavenly Father has glorified Thee. Oh, may we glorify Thee. May our hearts truly seek to set the crown upon Thy head. But, oh, dear Lord, may we so know Thy leading and teaching, that there might truly be, as it were, those lines of the heavenly song taught to our souls here below, that our souls might truly desire to praise and to sing Thy praises, Lord. Oh dear Lord, oh, that my soul might love and praise Thee more. Thy beauties trace, Thy majesty adore, live near Thy heart, upon Thy bosom lean, obey Thy voice, and all Thy will esteem. O Lord, do we pray Thee, make us to walk in Thy commands. 'tis a delightful road. But Lord, how unable we are to take a single step without Thee. Please help us, Lord. Oh, do please draw us, that we may run after Thee. Please speak to us, cause us to hear Thy voice. Oh, tune our ears to hear Thy voice, Lord, our inner soul. And so, Lord, we would draw nigh, we would draw near unto God, and prove Thee, dear Lord. Thy word says Thou wilt draw near unto us. Help us to bring all Thy tithes into Thy storehouse, and prove Thee, dear Lord. It says that there might be meat in my house. And prove me now, saith the Lord, if I will not open unto you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there be not room enough to receive it. Oh, we plead Thy word again and again. Come, Lord, pour out those blessings. Cause our souls to overflow, Lord, that our hearts might be all taken up with Thee. And so now, Lord, we pray, help us to worship. May that which we have brought, Lord, be under Thy divine direction. Do Thou be pleased to use it, we do pray, according to Thy own will and purposes. May it truly be manna for hungry souls. Lord, oh, give us that hunger. Give us that thirst, Lord. And give us that heavenly food and wine. We do plead. Be Thy servant coming up amongst us this evening. We thank Thee that Thou hast once more provided a servant for Thy house, a minister for Thy house, Lord. Thou art faithful and Thou hast done it. And we thank Thee again, Lord. Oh, Lord, we would desire to bless Thee for this provision. Lord, Thou hast not left us without a minister. Oh, what a kind and gracious God Thou art. So, dear Lord, hear our prayers. May he be sent here with Thy word. May we be brought here with a heart prepared by Thee to receive it, ears opened by Thee to hear it. And do Thou seal it with Thy Spirit. O Lord, here's my heart, Lord. Take and seal it. Seal it from Thy courts above. Yes, Lord, place the seal of Thy approbation upon our poor unworthy souls, Lord. In Christ, for we have nothing of our own. So, Lord, condescend to bless us. And, dear Lord, we are instructed to pray for those who rule over us, Lord, those in authority. Dear Lord, Thou knowest. We don't, but Thou dost, Lord. All that the royal family are going through. We only see that which we see reported, Lord. But thou seest the inner corners of their hearts. Thou seest if thou, in thy good pleasure, art working, Lord. We pray it may be the case. Thou seest affliction here and there. Thou knowest, Lord, those family matters that trouble them. Lord, their nest is truly stirred up. But Lord, may it be for the profit of their never dying souls, we pray thee. May it be truly sanctified, dear Lord. Oh, do please help them in it to look to thee and not to look in the wrong direction. But Lord, may their eyes truly be turned heavenward to the one and only true God. May they be taught, dear Lord, sweetly taught, that thou art a prayer hearing and a prayer answering God, that they can bring all things unto thee. And dear Lord, thou knowest our state as a nation. We don't need to look beyond our shores for trouble. Lord, thou knowest all things. Oh, do in mercy rule and overrule, overturn, Lord, those laws which are so contrary to thy holy will. Lord, thy word, they're so contrary, Lord. Oh, Lord, there is such evil done in our land. Oh, Lord, may we truly mourn it and plead with thee that thou hast overturn, Lord, and turn our feet as a nation heavenward. We know not what these things will mean to bring us there, but Lord, in mercy, hedge this nation round about and turn it heavenward. And in the matters of the world, Lord, oh, could it please thee to cause wars to cease, spears, as it were, to be beaten into ploughshares, to pruning hooks, Lord, weapons to be laid down. Oh, could it please thee to bring souls to know thee. Lord, thou knowest what thy holy will is, we know not, but give us grace to say, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. So, Lord, please hear our cries. And now, dear Lord, open thy word to us, and bless us freely, undeserving worm Jacob. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen. Let us now continue, firstly, the notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Timothy Parish is engaged to preach here next Lord's Day. Mr. Brian Mercer is engaged to preach on Tuesday evening, and Mr. Gilbert Hyde is engaged to preach here this evening. And today we take our monthly collection. Let us now continue by singing together hymn 438. Hymn 438, June Tiverton, 248. This was compassion, like a God, that when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pity ne'er withdrew. Hymn 438, June Tiverton, 248. Sermon that I will read as helped was preached by Mr. Ransbottom in 1992, and his text you will find in the portion that we read in Mark 9 and verse 22. Mark 9, verse 22. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And oft times earth cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. The Lord Jesus had just come down from the Mount of Transfiguration. There he had revealed himself to his favoured disciples in all his glory. But now he was coming down from the mount. And we read that straightway all the people came running to him. Now what a difference from when Moses had been up to the top of Mount Sinai. He too had been in the presence of God. But when he came down, his face shone, but the people dared not come near. They were afraid to venture nigh. Now you see Moses coming down from the mount and the people fleeing away from him. The Lord Jesus coming down from the mount and the people fleeing to him. And beloved friends, that is the difference between Moses and Christ, between the law and the gospel. The law of God is holy and righteous and just and true. The law of God says, do this and thou shalt live. The law of God says, do it not and dying thou shalt surely die. Now there is no attraction to a guilty sinner in Sinai, in the law. There is the glory in it. Moses' face shone. But how dare any draw near because of the glory of the law? What a difference in the glory of the gospel. To see the Lord Jesus in the glory of his person and the glory of his grace. And you see, if the law repels, the gospel sweetly draws. The Lord Jesus sweetly draws. Dr. Watts, contrasting the two, says, thus Sinai roars, and round the earth thunder and fire and vengeance flings, but Jesus, thy dear gasping breath, and Calvary say gentler things. That will draw you as a sinner. That will attract you. There is mercy there that he may be feared. There is a fountain opened for sin and for uncleanness. There is a loving welcome for the chief of sinners. Come, just as thou art with thy woe, fall down at the feet of the Lamb. He will not, he cannot say, go, but surely will take out thy stain. Her fountain is open for sin, and thousands its virtues have proved. He'll take thee and plunge thee therein, and wash thee from filth in his blood. That is the attraction of the gospel. If the face of Moses shines in the law, then God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is where it shines, the glory of the gospel. That is the attraction. That is the welcome. When he was come down, straightly all the people came running to him. But you see, one of the multitude. There was one man, and he was different. He had a hard case. He had a lunatic son. His heart was full of grief and sorrow. They all came running to the Lord Jesus and saluted him, but this man fell prostrate before him. That is a difference. One man, one of a multitude. I wonder if that one is here this morning. In a sense, when a congregation assembles for worship, all the people come running unto him. But behold, one of the multitude. Is that one here this morning? The one with a hard case to be met. The one who feels to be different. The one seeking Jesus. The one with a soul to be saved. The one with a prayer to be answered. The one seeking divine compassion, divine help. One of the multitude. Now it seems originally he brought that child, hoping to bring him to the Lord Jesus. And because the Lord Jesus was in the mount, and he had heard the disciples could perform miracles, he brought him to the disciples. He says, I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. You will sometimes find things when the best of men cannot help you, when the work exceeds all nature's power. You will have things at times that only the Lord Jesus can deal with. No one else. It must be none but Jesus. Let me just pause a moment here. Right at the end, after the miracle had been performed, when he was coming to the house, his disciples asked him in private, Why could we not cast him out? He said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What does that mean? I find this a very hard, mysterious scripture, A very hard, mysterious word the Lord Jesus spoke. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. The nearest I can come to it is this. We have some hard things in our lives at times. It is no use coming light-heartedly, casually to the Lord and saying, Lord, undertake for me, and then going away and forgetting all about it. It is a rebuke to us. We need to be importunate in prayer, to keep on knocking, to go like old Jacob, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. Perhaps we have been going on and then something comes and so we pray and then forget all about it and accept everything and expect everything will be all right the next day. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What about that word? The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. This kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Well, there you have the disciples in all their helplessness. And there you have the poor man in all his sorrow. And then you have that wonderful, sublime, majestic word, bring him unto me. It might be too hard for the disciples. It is not too hard for the disciples. It might be too hard for the disciples. It is not too hard for the disciples' Saviour and God. Bring him unto me. That word of divine majesty. The Lord Jesus knew he was going to cure him. The Lord Jesus knew he was going to heal him. Bring him unto me. Well then, beloved friends, how many of you are there this morning with something to bring to the Lord Jesus? Now what is it that you have which weighs you down, which burdens you, which concerns you, which distresses you? It does not matter how hard, it does not matter how impossible, bring him unto me. It does not matter how great, it does not matter how small, bring him unto me. It does not matter whether it is a him, or a her, or an it. Bring him unto me. May the emphasis be on the me. The dear Lord Jesus, the Almighty Saviour, the incarnate Son of God, once crucified, now risen, exalted, glorified, his wonderful sympathy and compassion, his tender understanding, his wisdom, his divine almighty power. Do you believe it? That his power is the same this morning as when he performed this miracle here? And that he still says, bring him unto me. What is it that is burdening you this morning, all those sins, bring them hither unto me. A soul to be saved or lost, bring it hither unto me. Or that trouble you are in, that hard case, that providence, that thing you cannot manage, bring it unto me. The cause that is too hard for you, bring it unto me, and I will hear it. There were so many hard cases brought to the Lord Jesus in the days of his flesh. There was none too hard for him. None he could not manage. There was none that he could not deal with. But this poor father is one of his children. Are you concerned about any of your children? Bring him or her hither to me. Bring her hither to me. Is it something in your family? Or someone outside your family who is perhaps against you, worrying you, opposing you? Bring him hither to me. The hearts of all men are in the Lord's hand. Is it something in the church of God? Is it something in your circumstances? Is it something concerning tomorrow, the unknown way? It does not matter who it is, what it is, bring it hither unto me in humble prayer to the blood-sprinkled mercy seat, to the throne of grace appointed for mercy and grace to help in time of need. Bring him hither to me. Now those of you who have come seeking a word in season this morning, may this be it. May this be the way that you have to walk. That thing, that person, that circumstance, that burden, all the weighs so heavy upon you, and you know what it is. Bring them hither unto me. The kind invitation, the loving welcome. You cannot say which is the greater here, the mercy or the power. Oh, but bring him hither to me. And the poor father did. Oh, but what an impossible case. He was possessed by the devil. There was evil. There was sin, there was wickedness. He had a dumb spirit, he could not speak. It was a wasting disease, he was pining away. He had suicidal tendencies. And oft times it had cast him into the fire and into the water. And it was his only child. He had a deep-seated malady. He had had it from the days of his infancy. The manifestations of it were terrible. He foamed and he gnashed with his teeth. It does not matter. Bring him hither to me. You remember how the centurion spoke to the Lord Jesus And the Lord Jesus said, I will come and heal him. Not have a look at him. Not investigate and examine him. Not see if anything can be done. I will come and heal him. And that is implied here. Bring him unto me. However great, however terrible the case, bring him hither to me, and I will heal him. It seems when they were bringing him, the devil had a last fling. And you know he will. If you are seeking in prayer to bring anyone or anything to the Lord Jesus, the devil will have a fling at you. Or if you yourself are bringing your case, the devil will have a fling at you. Bunyan's Christian at the wicket gate, the porter pulled him in, and just as he entered the gate, an arrow sped past the place where before he was standing. Satan will have his fling. That is why, you young people, if the Lord begins to deal with you and you begin to seek after the Lord Jesus, you will have temptations that you have never known before. You have lived quietly, lived a moral life, and suddenly you will have these temptations to do things you've never known before. That is because when you belong to Satan, he left you alone. And now he is losing you, doesn't he fire his arrows at you? I never had a shadow of doubt concerning the points of truth that we hold until I believed the Lord quickened my soul into life. And then I was tried and tempted on the whole lot of them. I think I can honestly say, I do not believe our doctrines because I was brought up to believe them, or because they are in the hymn book or articles of faith. I think I have been tempted on most of them, and I have had to learn them personally from Scripture and from the Lord himself. But I was never tempted on one point of truth in the days of unregeneracy. It was when he was coming to Jesus that the devil had his last fling and tear him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And so the poor father in distress, almost in despair, poured out his heart to the Lord Jesus. You can never perish there. He ends his woeful tale with this: if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Now, when I was talking to our young people, I did mention for their encouragement one or two of the poor prayers of Scripture, which the Lord very graciously answered. This one did not cross my mind at that time, but this is one of the poor prayers of Scripture. It was not a good prayer, it was a bad prayer, but it received a most blessed answer. It received a perfect answer, but look at this prayer, the unbelief in it. Why, this poor man, he almost cast doubt. He does cast doubt on the Lord's omnipotence. He says to the Almighty Son of God, if thou canst do anything. He puts an if on it. He is not even sure that the Lord Jesus can do anything about it. Now these things are for our encouragement, beloved friends. Not to justify us in our poor prayers, but to encourage us when our prayers are poor, that they are answered on mercy's ground. The Lord Jesus turned it right round. Really, the Lord Jesus said, it is not if I can do anything, the if belongs to you. It is if you can believe. That's the if. Are you able to trust me for it? Are you able to commit it into my hands? Are you able to leave it with me? That is where the if is. Not with the Almighty Saviour. If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And then that answer with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Oh, but this prayer, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. It was not the best of prayers, it was a poor prayer. There was a lot of unbelief in it, and yet, you see, it received a blessed answer, because there was a grain of living faith there. And the grain of living faith did this. It caused this poor man, sink or swim, to commit his dreadful case right into the hands of the Lord Jesus. You can never perish there. Despite your sin and despite your unbelief, there was a measure of faith in it, and there was reality in it. It obtained the answer. It obtained the blessing. So try what your poor prayers can do when you get home and before you go to bed. Try what your poor prayers can do. Try what your hard-hearted prayers can do. Try what your unbelieving prayers can do. And perhaps the Lord, in his love and mercy, will answer them on mercy's ground through the Redeemer's blood. If thou canst do anything, have compassion on us. Now, there were two things he wanted. They are two things that the Lord Jesus has to give, and he delights to give them. They are two things that you and I so often need: divine compassion, divine help. Oh, have compassion on us. It is a beautiful thing, this help. Oh, have compassion on us. The compassion of the Lord Jesus. That is, that he knows, he understands, he cares. That is, he sympathizes. He will not break the bruised reed. The smoking flax will he not quench. He is the great high priest of our profession, touched with the feeling of our infirmities. Have compassion on us. It is a wonderful thing, the compassion of the Lord Jesus, viewed in all its fullness at Calvary. That little hymn, we do not sing it nowadays, but years ago I used to love that hymn. This was compassion like a God, that when the Saviour knew the price of pardon was his blood, he pity ne'er withdrew. Have compassion on us, O that wonderful tender heart of the Saviour, that wonderful tender compassion. It is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. Then have compassion on us. But it is divine compassion. 'Tis almighty compassion. There's nothing helpless about it. It is so kind and tender and loving, but there's nothing feeble about it. This compassion is divine. This compassion is almighty. You see the two sides of it. Israel in Egypt, I've surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. That is the compassion. I have heard their cry. I know their sorrows. That is the compassion. Here is almighty compassion, divine compassion. And I am come down to deliver them. Oh, the wonder of the Lord, looking upon a sinner in all his need. That wonderful compassion to pity, that divine almighty power to hear and answer and deliver. Have compassion on us. Then you see the other thing, divine help. That is another attractive thing, isn't it? He is not the only one in the Gospels to pray for the help of the Lord Jesus. And he's not the last one to pray for the help of the Lord Jesus. Some of us have to pray for it every day. Have compassion on us and help us. Like the dear woman, Lord, help me. Oh, that help. We feel our complete helplessness. Oh, Jesus, thou almighty Saviour, have compassion on us then, and help us in all our helplessness. For other refuge have I none. Hangs my helpless soul on thee. Is there one helpless soul here this morning who has to hang on an almighty Saviour? Have compassion on us and help us. May it be so in the last great day. Have compassion on us and help us. May it be so now this morning. And may it be so tomorrow. And in all the things in the unknown way. We need this help in so many ways. Help laid upon one that is mighty. But we need it especially in the way of salvation. For the Lord to come to us like the Good Samaritan. That kind of help, that suitable help, the help in which we do not have to do anything. We cannot do anything. We do not need to do anything. That help, the pouring in of the oil and the wine, the binding up of all our wounds, have compassion on us and help us. A helpless soul and an almighty Saviour. The blessed suitability of the one for the other. To Christ for help I flee, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Have compassion on us and help us. Now, is there something in which you especially want the Lord to help you? Some problem you have, or some choice you have to make, or some decision you have to take, or some uncertainty before you, or some new step in providence, or some door you want opening, or some deliverance you look for, or something you badly need and you do not know how you're going to get it. Have compassion on us and help us. Really, you could read through the Bible from Genesis and read through in the light of this word, and page after page you see the Lord having compassion on a sinner, having compassion on a nation and helping them. You can trace it right along. You can look at old Jacob in all his difficult trials, how the Lord had compassion on him and helped him. You can look at Joseph in all the mysterious unfoldings of providence, how the Lord had compassion on him and helped him. You can look at the Israel of God, the banks of the Red Sea, no hope, no way of escape and no way of deliverance. But the Lord came right down and had compassion and helped them. You can think of Elijah, the brook Cherith, the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil, the ravens and the widow woman. You can think of Daniel in the lion's den, the three Hebrew children in the burning fiery furnace. Divine compassion, divine help. You can do the same in the New Testament. You can think of all these needy people, poor Bartimaeus and the leper and the woman pressing through the crowd, right to the last, very last, the dying thief. Lord, remember me. And it is this, the Lord having compassion on them, the Lord helping them. You say, what about the psalmist? So often there is a cry for divine compassion and the help and the testimony that the Lord has given it. You say, what about the prophets? Well, there is the precious prophecy that the Lord will do it. How many times does he say, I will help thee? So the whole Bible is an account of this. The Lord showing compassion and divine help. But it did not end when the canon of scriptures closed. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Beloved friends, with your case this morning, may you see this miracle of love and mercy. May you see it is this Jesus, the same in his mercy, his compassion, his power, the same in his divine help. Perhaps as you read it, you feel bound up in it, embraced in it. That you are this Father, you are the one on this errand of mercy, crying out, have compassion on me and help me. So you will be the one who receives the same blessing, because he received as good a blessing as any in the Gospels. He received all he wanted, despite the impossibility of the case. The experience of the people of God, so much of it is this, receiving compassion, receiving help. I often say it is a good thing if you can turn a text into a prayer and pray it on the way home. Well, you have no need to turn this into a prayer. It is a prayer already, but it is a good thing if you can pray it. Have compassion on us and help us. Some of God's people pray the whole lot. Perhaps you say, whatever do you mean by that? I thought the beginning of it was full of unbelief. Yes, but some of God's people pray the whole lot and not in a way of unbelief. They prayed like this, Lord Jesus, if thou canst do anything, and I know thou canst, have compassion on me and help me, Lord Jesus. If thou canst do anything, and thou art the only one who canst, then do have compassion on me and help me. Perhaps some of you have had to pray like that, looking at the enormity, the impossibility of the case, but, oh Lord Jesus, if thou canst do anything, not in a way of unbelief, but in a way of venturing faith, if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Those of you who have heard the Lord say, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? Those of you who have heard the word, with God nothing shall be impossible. People often quote that wrongly. They say nothing shall be called impossible. Well, there's plenty of things called impossible. The scriptures does not say nothing shall be called impossible. It says nothing shall be impossible. Some of us go back to the time when these things were burnt in our hearts, that the impossible things of our God were easy. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. We saw the Lord, the creator of heaven and earth. A lot of people this Remembrance Week have been singing, O God, our help in ages past, in a way of remembrance. With me, it has been in days past, more in a way of omnipotence. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. Then the hardest thing is easy, isn't it? If thou canst do anything, and of course thou canst do everything, thou dost hold the waters in the hollow of thy hand, and mete out heaven with a span. The nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as the small dust of the balance. Living souls are in no doubt concerning the divinity of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. He sits on the circle of the earth. The inhabitants before him are as grasshoppers. He is exalted on the throne. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. With heaven and earth at his command, he waits to answer prayer. It is in that sense we venture, Lord Jesus, if thou canst do anything, and I know thou canst do all things, then do in thy love and mercy, hear my prayer. Have compassion on me, and do help me. Do not turn away thy face. Mine's an urgent, pressing case. And the poor father received all he wanted. And beloved friend, I believe in mercy, so will you. Amen. Let us conclude by singing hymn 739, hymn 739, to the tune St. George, number 59. Hymn 739, no help in self I find, and yet have sought it well, the native treasure of my mind is sin and death and hell. To Christ the help I fly, the friend of sinners lost, a refuge sweet and sure and nigh, and there is all my trust. Hymn 739, tune St. George, number 59. Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, sweet communion and teaching of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each. We ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.